It is Wednesday, the 31st of July, and this is episode 176 of Digital Outbox. In your face, 175. We're on to 176 now. Hello, Ian.
Hi, Chris. I can't wait to 180. I feel like I've been building up to 180 since about 103.
I think I might get you to do that intro. Right, let's crack on with the news. So we're starting with Twitter tonight. It's not a very nice story to start with, really, but there we go. It's been all around Twitter. I can't remember whether we mentioned it last week or whether it just broke sort of soon after last week. But anyway, there's been a big campaign to get a woman onto one of the banknotes, because there was going to be, or we're going to have a situation where there's no women on the banknotes, apart from the Queen, of course. So basically people have been campaigning to get a woman on there, including Caroline Cardio Perez. Is that how you say it? Criado Perez, anyway, her name. And she got a lot of Twitter abuse for this campaign. So basically, they succeeded in getting Jane Austen to be on one of the £10 notes. But she received a barrage of abuse across Twitter.
And I think the thing that was sickening was it wasn't just like, you know, one guy, or it wasn't just like a few comments. It was hundreds and hundreds of tweets an hour, talking about, you know, raping her and they're going to get her and all that kind of stuff. It was horrid.
It was weirdos. But it got to the point where, you know, obviously it was, more than just, internet trolling. It became so serious that she reported it to the police.
I think what initially happened, the reason it picked up on on Twitter was that she couldn't find some sort of official way, via, and I don't know whether she was using the website or what app she was using, but there was no obvious way of reporting. So you could block, and I think a few people were saying, "Well, just block it. What are you moaning about?" And there was a few other, notable women came forward and said, "Actually, you don't understand. You're getting." If you're getting, 50 tweets a minute, all abusing you, and you just say, "Well, just block it. What's your problem?"
I was going to say, because you have to read every single one in order to be able to block it.
It's not practical, and also blocking still means they can just carry on with their vitriol elsewhere. So Twitter as a service weren't actually taking action. They were just saying to you, and it wasn't Twitter that was feeding that back. It was other users. But what made it worse was she got in touch with Twitter's PR. I think it was our head of communication in the UK. And instead of him responding, he just made his account private, which I think that, along with a few other things, was the catalyst for so many people picking up on it and saying, "This isn't good enough. This isn't Twitter's not going to survive if you allow, the kind of the tiny minority to go and abuse people like this."
Yeah, and because we've seen it used in sort of good ways as well as bad, to campaign for good things as well as bad things, but this is
absolutely.
So there's been a call to have, an abuse button within the clients and within the website. And Twitter have come out and said they are working towards something along those lines, but they have to keep balanced. But they could lose the fight. And, if internet trolling is going to, it could just bring down the service, basically.
No, so on it's kind of broken Friday. So on Saturday, head of UK Twitter, he came out and says, "Look, you can report on the official Twitter apps. There's an actual report abuse button. And we're going to aims to make that visible on the website, make it open to third parties so they can add that as well." And the police got involved. So there's a 21-year-old man was eventually arrested. So he was the kind of one of the main instigators of the abuse. But it just went further. So Stella Creasy is an MP for Labour. She was one of the women that was back in the campaign. She also wrote an Observer at the weekend. About just the abuse on Twitter, and something has to be done about it. It wasn't just all women. I mean, Dara O'Brien, said that, you know, Twitter will face an exodus. I mean, he tweeted, if the ladies leave Twitter because of all the dumb, rapey 14-year-old boys, then I'm out of here, people, like most grown-up men.
The problem is, he says they're all 14-year-old boys. I just don't have the confidence that they are. We've clearly seen this 20-year-old so guy's been arrested.
Exactly. It was a 21-year-old man that's been arrested. And then Stella Creasy had written an Observer at the weekend. And then she, I mean, I don't know if it's just it's people that think they're just beyond the law or don't understand, you know, the kind of what they're saying. But she actually got attacked, you know, and it was horrible.
So she wrote about it and then got attacked. I mean,
I mean, one of the comments, you better watch your back. I'm going to rape your ass at 8 p.m. and put the video all over the internet. And it's like, and some people could say that's just trolling. And it's like, it's not, you're actually making a threat.
Yeah.
And that was a 25-year-old man that was arrested for those comments. You know, so it's not 14-year-old boys; it's people that should know better.
So they look like they're going to do thing. You know, hopefully, try and sort some of this out. But it's hard to see how they can without, you know, kind of ruining the service in a way, I guess.
No, and Twitter eventually officially responded saying, we're not blind to reality. There'll always be people using Twitter in ways that are abusive and may harm others. While manually reviewing every tweet's not possible. We use both automated and manual systems to evaluate reports.
I mean, I was going to say, because they can't do that. They can't automate this process. You can't just block accounts based on... I mean, again, you can get people trolling the report, you know, the abuse reports and things like that. So, it's going to be a tricky balance. You don't want a legitimate account getting blocked just because someone doesn't, you know, these same knobs don't disagree with what you're saying kind of thing.
No, and certainly... Certainly Strathclyde Police, on their Twitter account, they said, don't report people to the Strathclyde Police Twitter account. But if you are being, and this wasn't the last week, this was, you know, last year, you know, if you're being abused online, phone the police, report it. And they were willing to take action.
Yeah, but you have to go and make a report and statement or whatever. But
yep.
But it seems like they can, you know, they can and do go and find some perpetrators. But it sounds very much like hit and miss, though. You know, as in, you know, it's not two people that have just done this. It's a lot of people.
It is, but I don't know. It's hard. It made Twitter not a nice place the last few days. When you think, you think how innocent it is, but then. It doesn't matter what the forum is or Facebook or whatever.
You kind of get the idea. People are going to ruin the internet, aren't they? Basically, they already do. The internet is people, unfortunately, and it's all our failings and the good stuff as well.
Absolutely. You know. I mean, I've told you before my issue with like forums, you know, just the way people talk on a forum.
It's very different from real life.
If people talk to me in a forum is the way they talk to me in real life, you've got a punch in the face. Sometimes it's just so rude, and it is just trolling, it is winding people up. And a lot of the time it is, you know, unfortunately mostly guys that don't know better.
Yeah, because we've had it's another case of a Cambridge University professor got abused. And she decided she'd kind of retweet it to her followers. And anyway, it got to the point where someone who clearly knew whoever tweeted it out in the first place, said, if you'd like me to tell his mother, I've got her name and address here, or would you like me to tell Joanna, which is his mum? At which point he backtracked about a million miles an hour and retracted and gave an apology, basically.
And she's had so much abuse on Twitter over time as well, I mean, an unbelievable amount. And this was just another example. And the comment, and I know maybe I shouldn't read it out, but the comment was, and she was on the Jeremy Vine show at the time, and they were talking about this because of the amount of abuse that she'd had before. And this guy, and he was, I think, 21?
Yeah, 20.
20. And he tweets it directly, retweet this, you filthy old slut, I bet your vagina is disgusting. BBC Radio 2, what do you think? Did Jeremy Vine arrest me?
And yes.
And it's like, well, and it was just class when this guy then just says, actually, if you want me to send it to his mum, I'd be happy to give the postal address. And within half an hour, I sincerely apologise for my trolling. I was wrong and very rude. Hope this can be forgotten and forgiven.
But what that also means is this guy is, you know, looking for the response as well. He's following along with the conversation, and, you know, he's looking for... It just shows a bit that people wanting attention. And, you know, it's just in the entirely the wrong way. Anyway, should we move on?
Yes.
Should we move on to internet crime in general and how the government think we're going to lose the battle against it unless we do more?
Did you believe this?
So it's basically they're saying they want to set up an e-crime unit or a crack squad to cut down on all minor crimes on the line.
Part of me didn't believe this. I look at the last few months and everything just seems to be set up to give the whole country fear and loathing about certain things. You know, it's like NHS is rubbish, internet's in danger, we need to protect everything. And it's just that constant message coming out.
It's because they want to do all these, you know, they're trying to get around all this censorship stuff. And by giving us bad news and telling us how bad everything is out there, they can tell us why they need to do all these censoring and tracking and looking into and why they need all these more swathing powers. Because they really do feel like they do need them. But I guess they're trying to say here that, you know, we might die by, you know, death by a thousand cuts, but on these tiny things that aren't necessarily reported. So if someone takes a transaction on your card without, you know, you authorising it.
Yep. And certainly they were saying that the UK seemed to become a soft touch, whether it's because people are more trusting or it's the amount of people that we do have.
I think it's just probably the number of people that are now coming online and it's just every, you know, the people that have learned their lessons already, they're small fry compared to the number of people coming on for the first time.
Absolutely. And it's things like... It's like, you know, folk like us know how to deal with spam. You know, my mum gets something in and it's like, what's that? Who sent me that? How did they get my email address?
Yeah, and it's, you know, you hear stories that, you know, so I got this letter, you know, this email in, so I opened it up and then I replied to say, no, don't send me anymore. And I forwarded it to everyone to make sure they don't get it either. It's like, it's things like that. It's just, it's alien to a lot of people and they, it's frustrating. Anyway, that's... Government must monitor us. We must be quelled and quashed.
Yes. V for Vendetta. Some of the stuff that you see, it does feel like that.
The new thing they want us to be scared of, you know.
It is Boing
terrorism Boing and cybercrime.
Yeah, Boing Boing had a story on Monday, and I didn't put it in because I'll wait and see. But basically it was a screenshot of the filtering that TalkTalk have enabled. And obviously everybody's been talking about porn and we covered it last week. It's all about porn. But it was things like, do you want smoking to be hidden? Do you want forums to be hidden? And you're like, wow forums.
Yeah. Those frightening, dangerous things of where democracy happens.
Absolutely. And you're thinking, so smoking, you could say, well, maybe that is something you want to hide. But then do you want to hide anti-smoking? Does that cover anti-smoking? Does it cover, if a kid was wanting to see how bad it was?
I've never seen sites that just say, go smoke.
So and it was these very broad categories of just a simple checkbox beside it. And
it'd be like AOL all over again.
Exactly. and Boing Boing has said, look, it's not just porn. But then at the same time, it's like, hold on, nobody said these are the filters. These are the ones that TalkTalk are using. And obviously Cameron's come out and said, I commend TalkTalk. They're one of the most forward-thinking companies we've got in the UK. So you can put two and two together and make your own assumptions. But that's going to be hideous if the default on is all of them are blocked.
One for families and people who want, you know, fluffy bunnies and things. But one who wants the real world.
It is AOL. We're going to be in a gated internet.
Yeah. Well, that's what the government would very much like, I think.
And unfortunately, it's not just the Tory government. It's Tory and Labour.
No, it's just in general and worldwide governments. It's not just UK. Getting myself depressed.
Sorry. See, when we came on tonight, we were both really quite perky.
Yeah. Not for long, mate. We was never going to last. Google had to remove 100 million links out of their search index due to piracy. Now, I did
And that's just this year, isn't it?
That's just from January this year. Now, I did a quick calculation. I'm sure I've got it wrong.
Carol.
But that is something along the line of 40 requests per second since January.
Really?
Now, I'm sure I've got the calculation wrong. I'm probably over-egging it by lots, but I don't necessarily think I am. But there you go. Someone can back me up on the calculation. That is absolutely ridiculous. Who is checking all this? Do you think all the piracy in this world is actually just done by people who are checking whether piracy is going on?
It just doesn't scale. I noticed that.
How are they doing this?
But it's just this is obviously their way of battling it. because they're saying it's like they kill one torrent site, another one rises up, all that Hydra effect and all that nonsense. So this just seems to be the next way of just make sure the search engines don't index it.
Well, yeah, okay, so it could make it so much hassle that they just don't want to. But then again, I don't think search engines are going to go down that route. But there we go, we'll see. Like someone said, it's like playing whack-a-mole. You can't... This way of doing it is not... We've said all along, it has to be two-pronged. This is partly what they need to do, but they certainly need to be spending some of the effort they're doing in spending 40 requests per second.
I think it's total bollocks. See if they actually turned around and said, make it affordable, make it... And I know there's going to be some people that will just never buy it, no matter what how much it costs.
So then deliver it in a different way that involves them not having to buy it, but somehow they get, you know, revenue out of it.
Yeah, but I mean, I just look at the, you know... Don't charge me £15 for a movie I want to watch once, you know, and don't give me a crappy stream. I want a great quality to watch it, but charge me a couple of quid. And you'll get loads of people just saying that's far more convenient. Make it nice and easy.
Apple has been proof positive that chopping it, you know, stack it high, sell it cheap is the way forward in digital arena.
And it's Amazon are doing it as well. Google are doing it to a certain extent with Play Store as well. You know, we do have more and more options. It's going to get there.
Kicking and streaming, they will get there, but they're going to destroy themselves in the
Is that deliberate? Did you see kicking and streaming?
I think I did.
Yay! You're the man.
Slip it in.
Hey.
So again, harking back to an old world, Sony's come along and said they've got a successor plan to the Blu-ray. So another optical disc, basically, holding 300 gigabytes of data. So in other words, you can hold a 4K film, nearly the 4K trilogy. I think they'd probably do the selling point. their argument is this is a great medium in that it can sit on your shelf. It doesn't degrade. Well, it does. It doesn't get affected by, you know, hot and cold and light and dark and all those kind of things. So, and they just want to be able to sell discs still because it stocks things in shops and keeps things on your shelves, and it means that you have to keep buying stuff.
I still like Blu-rays, I must admit. I do have a thing about it, but I do like my tangible thing, because, and it's just because I've not found a reliable electronic streaming medium that I
it's
think
not just about being reliable either, is it? It's just about the practicality of streaming such a lot of data.
I guess so. This didn't sound enough, but you know, so you've
300 gig.
Blu-rays can go 50 gig right now, and I know they're talking about 4K and that's the maximum we'll go to. And this sounded
they say that all the time. Of course they do.
Exactly. I just think of what we stored now and how it constantly ramps up over the years, and they're doing this now for the end of 2015, which probably means it's more like a 2016, 2017 format by the time that it gets out there and there's players. 300 gig doesn't feel enough.
But then they'll try and do some sort of dual layer business, won't they?
Maybe.
And plus, I don't think they're looking for this media to be a storage device for you and I. It's just literally to sell a movie on, surely. And as long as it's big enough to hold that.
I actually wondered if it was more the...
If they do it too future-proof, it means they can't come up with the next thing another 5 years down the line, which means you have to buy your films again.
Yes, but I did wonder if it was more the kind of backup market. Is there still people out there that want to burn the disc and send?
Have they said it's going to be recordable, though?
I am assuming that they wouldn't make a disc now that isn't recordable.
Hmm. We'll see.
We shall. I don't know. I think it's dead already. In my kind of grand scheme of announcing things like Nokia's dead, but it just feels wrong.
Yeah. No. So hard media sales and, you know, things like discs still 1.5 billion business, and a lot more than the sort of 250 odd million that's video on demand services at the moment. But they are up 50% on last year, so they're moving. And you hear people all the time talking about Love Film and you know, Netflix, because Netflix is relatively recent over here as well, and they seem to be getting traction. But my problem is you look on their services and they're not that appealing, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Microsoft, not allowed to use the word sky. No one's allowed to use sky. BSkyB own the sky.
This made me, I actually laughed out loud when I read this.
So BSkyB took Microsoft to court, and they have been told that their SkyDrive, so their cloud offering, is infringing on Be Sky B's copyright.
And this isn't just they went to court in the UK, but this is actually across the whole of Europe, and the judge quoted it. People were confused, and I'm thinking, how the hell can somebody be, unless they're an idiot, that they can't be confused? But seemingly, they cited Sky cited evidence that people had phoned their support line for help with SkyDrive.
Well,
so basically, they got 10
that's
employees.
People, that's
to phone
doesn't
up.
Give anyone a right. Yes, that's incredibly frustrating. So I cannot believe that they have got the right to Sky. You know, any time you use the word Sky, you know, that's just, it's ridiculous that someone can have the rights to it. But there you go.
So the bit I also can't understand, I've obviously spent, what, a year, 2 years, 3 years calling this, you know, SkyDrive.
Yeah, why now?
I guess it's because Sky took them to court. But it's also just the fact this was a worldwide brand. This is them throwing away, I am assuming, millions upon millions of branding, etc.
Yeah, because it's just starting to ramp up.
Because they were calling it was it live? They called it for ages, I'm sure. They not have a live.com, which was different to Xbox Live, and was live.com not their online sharing documents thing? And then it all went to SkyDrive.
Yeah, and it was also all there, and I think that's where Hotmail all went to live and stuff like that, didn't it?
That's right, yep. And I guess they're going to now go and rebrand it all, some crazy like Microsoft Cloud or mCloud or something daft.
It would be rubbish. It would be as bad as... Oh, I can't even remember the name of the stupid thing they used to call their start... Oh, God, I'm having trouble even staying awake. This is how exciting everyone is today.
Metro.
Metro, that's it. Yes.
How did I get that from start thing?
I don't know how you got that from my sentence, but it's incredibly well done.
Chris, you're the best podcaster ever. But yeah, they spent, a year, 2 years saying Metro?
Yes, and then it all changed. Metro was good as well.
I'm sure it was a German firm. Said that they owned the rights to Metro.
That shows how complicated it is, and that's why we get so many rubbish names for cars, because there's very few. It's like domain names now. It's hard to get a domain name that actually sounds good.
I'll confess, that's why we're called Digital Outbox, because that was about the best we could do.
Come up with.
Because A, we're not very good, and B, that was like, oh, sod it. I've spent a week trying to think of a name. That'll just have to do.
Yeah. Another thing Sky have been chatting on about, and shoving letters through my letterbox for endlessly, is about Now TV. And they have just released a Now TV set-top box. So Now TV is Sky's offering that you don't need a Sky subscription. There's no contract. It's just a monthly TV service, basically, where you can watch Sky movies and you can watch Sky Sports. And they've just released a little box at an amazing price, $9.99, including posting packaging. And effectively, it's just a little mini Roku box specifically designed to work with the Sky service. So it's a great way, if you want Sky Sports, contract-free, what a good way of doing it.
Absolutely. And if you've not got, because I think they've got like the kind of plug-in on Xbox and PS3 and a whole lot of other, you know, boxes so that you can, you know, enable it. But if you've not got one of those boxes...
Yeah, well, if you have, even if you have $9.99, it's a bargain.
I know. The only thing I saw was 720p. It was like, oh.
Yeah, a little bit backwards. But then, to be honest, for most things and most streaming, that's fine.
Yeah, you're right. And it's a tenner. You can't really complain. Yeah. I think the only and instantly I thought, oh, cheap Plex client, because in the Roku, if you buy a proper Roku box, there's an app store that has a Plex client in it. Okay. But they've disabled all that and taken it away.
Yeah, so I'm sure there'll be people that do hack into this box, because they're bound to be selling it at a loss at the moment just to get people on.
Because I think the box it's based on was going at 50 quid. I think it's a 50 quid and 100 quid one. So yeah, it's exactly. And then there's a tenner one.
But as with Sky, as everything Sky, they do loss leaders on their hardware, so they suck you in on that and keep you going. But there's no contract here, so you can just pick up the box if you... I think you need an account, but it doesn't make it clear whether you need to be a paying account to get things like BBC iPlayer through it and, you know, just demand. So
you don't.
So you just need a free account to be able to go and watch iPlayer.
You just need that £10 box. So if you, even for things like, you know, if you're, I don't know, sitting in a caravan somewhere and you've got a TV.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get a signal, good luck.
yeah, good luck with that. But yes, so they're good. The old reader.
Oh, this is a bit inside baseball. I apologise, but I'll do this one quick.
So this is our RSS ongoing talk.
And so about a month on, you know, so it was the start of July, and really it's had no impact whatsoever. So if I'm being honest,
yeah, this is the end of Google Reader anyway.
The old Reader
was that basically a clone of Google Reader? Was it
pretty much? And it had been launched months before all the hoo-ha about Google Reader dying. It was basically a reader service, and the guide set it up for basically his mates, friends, and kind of like an inner circle of people, and then it grew and it grew and it grew, and it was all free. And I think that was part of the problem. It was all free and it just couldn't sustain the growth with the amount of people that joined. When Google actually came out on March 13th and said, we're shutting down Google Reader, and the internet went crazy.
Boom, let's find somewhere
else. Loads of people joined Old Reader, really liked it, but it was unsustainable. And it was quite a sad post, actually, because the guys basically put up saying, look, we're going to have to change this. We've got no life. We've got no spare time. We've got loads of people that are just really critical of the service, because it was actually going down. It was going down once every couple of days, and it was, you know,
getting
down
swamped
for 12
and they were
hours.
Thinking, this is not worth it.
Yeah, and what they've done is probably slightly controversial, because I would have thought it was just, I said, look, we need to move to a paid service so we can do, you know, sustainable. And that's what things like, you know, NewsBlur, FeedWrangler, and even things like Pinboard have said. We're a paid service. We're not going to hide behind. We're not free. We're paid so we can be sustainable, and you're going to employ me. I'll keep it going. That's the whole point of it.
But they're not interested in doing that, basically. They've said that instead they're going to retract into themselves and hide away and basically keep it to their friends and family and people who signed up early, basically.
So if you signed up after March 13th, you won't be part of this new private Old Reader that's going to be established. And if you were before it, then you'll still be able to join it. They also, and it shows you some of the, if you were assumingly they did take some Bitcoin, you could kind of like fund them, not as in pay them officially, but kind of say, you know, chip them a few Bitcoins and say, you know, well done, thanks for it. But there was no way to tie it back to a username.
So then they were relying on people going in and saying, yeah, that was me.
Yeah. So all a bit of a mess. Good luck to them. But I think, for me, NewsBlur's been great. I've $20 a year and it's been fantastic. I really, really, you know, enjoy it. The website's fantastic as well. So for me, I've actually got a better service at Google Reader disappearing.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take much to monetize it. But the thing is, with monetization then comes all the, you have to supply a service then. And if it does start going down, then it's, you know, it doesn't matter if it's mates and stuff. So yeah, I can see where it's coming from.
No, absolutely. And the thing that gave me a bit more confidence with NewsBlur is they've been going for two and a half years. They didn't just start up in March. They've been a long-term business, and it all looks quite sustainable.
Well, I'm sure their friends and family are going to have an awful lot of fun with their reading service.
Yes.
Autographer, the wearable camera that's coming to the UK. Costs quite a lot of money, though. Am I right? So nearly 400 quid?
400 quid for a 5-megapixel camera?
It just basically clips to your clothes and takes pictures all day. Based on different lighting and different temperature and different movement.
Or just buy a Nexus 7 and hang it around your neck.
You could do that, yeah. So it's a weird thing. I mean, I think I can't initially see why anyone would want to do this. But the thing is, it stores an awful lot of pictures and it does, I guess, record your day. I know didn't they do this on pets at one point to see where cats went and things like that?
There's ones just now. There's a whole dog thing at the moment where you can stick a camera on your dog, and also like a Fitbit thing, so it tells you how active your dog is. And it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Benton. I guess when I first heard about Twitter, I thought, who's going to do that? When I first heard about, well, you know, all these things, it just seems like a madness thing. Yet, you'll see one stop motion video of, you know, someone's day and you'll think, oh, well, that's quite funky, actually, especially if it's a big day, an interesting day. So I don't know, maybe this will become the next thing. I mean,
I guess
we've seen Keek and things like that take off.
No, absolutely.
And all those kind of things. So,
and they're not the only company doing it. This is a company based in Britain, Oxford Metrics Group, 400 quid.
That's why it costs so much, is bloody in this country.
Yep. It's only 58 grams and it can take 2,000 photographs a day and store up to 28,000 on its internal memory.
Yeah,
so obviously it's a tiny bit of kit. There's another one. I'm just scanning down the notes. I'm sure I put it in, but I can't see it. Memoto, it's called. And it was like a kind of round your necklace, and then it was just like a little kind of thumb drive, and obviously it's just a camera. But it was more just the fact, I don't think, it's just the fact that if somebody was sitting with me talking away and it's constantly taking photos, I'm like,
yeah, there's definitely things that are going on there. But
what are you doing with that?
Say, I've been proved wrong before about the next big thing, so maybe this is going to be the next
big thing.
But I think 400 quid, it's not.
No.
At 50 quid, it might be.
And it's like, fair enough about, you know, I don't want people taking photos when I'm having a drink with them or sitting in a meeting, etc. But it's back to that whole, I'm in the toilet and somebody's constantly taking photos. Just feels wrong. Yeah, I know that the UK, I think it was the Minister of Transport, have come out today and say, we will ban Google Glass. You know, you're not going to be allowed to drive and wear Google Glass.
Wow.
There's a distraction as equally as distracting as a mobile phone. They're classing it as, if not more. So they're looking at making sure it's an offence to use Google Glass while driving.
Doesn't surprise me.
No.
Asda, going to put the nail in the coffin for Nintendo, maybe? Brilliant. Asda, which is actually Walmart for the UK, basically, isn't it? It's owned by Walmart. They're not going to sell Wii U's anymore. They're just taking them off their shelves. If you want to buy them, you've got to do it online. Clearly not selling in-store. 360 and PlayStation 3 still available.
I sometimes think we are overly harsh.
We've jumped
on a bit of a bandwagon with this, but at the same time, just before I came, we started tonight, that Nintendo's own figures. So in the last quarter worldwide, they sold 160,000 consoles.
I mean, it's a big number, but it's...
That's tiny.
What I mean is, it's a big number of... if you were a small manufacturer.
Yeah,
You know, it's all relative, but that's down from 3.45 million before the launch of so they sold nearly everything going up to launch, and beyond launch they just haven't sold anything.
And to me, the games are just not there. There's nothing to entice a buyer right now.
Software sales dropped to about 1 million from 13 million for the 12 months before that. So it's bonkers.
It's far worse than I thought.
Yeah, I would say.
And also, I guess the new consoles get announced. You know, that I can almost like the proper next gen, not a Nintendo next gen, which is a catch up to where we are right now. But by the way, we're going to leapfrog you
again. They proved with the Wii that they didn't have to be next gen to make an awful lot of money out of a console, and they did very well with that. But they've just gone too far the wrong way now.
Yep.
Sadly.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to now playing Mario on iOS officially. I'm sure it's
That's the thing. So maybe we're going to get some of these good games that previously sold consoles and clearly don't anymore, because they have been regurgitating the same thing over and over. And they do have killer games. They, you know, the like Mario World and all those kind of things are killer games.
There's only so many Marios, Mario Karts, Pikmin that you can rely on. It's like, IP.
They've innovated those games enough. You know, Mario Galaxy and all that got massively good reviews.
Yeah, no,
but nowadays, it's just not enough to justify spending that much money on a console.
Bless.
Sadly. End of the news. Thank goodness I keep myself awake. Picks. Have you got one?
I have a pick this week.
Ooh.
Maybe slightly controversial as well. Immunicity. So if you go to immunicity.org, simple censorship circumvention. As much of our podcast over the last 2-3 weeks have all been about, pirate blocking, torrent sites getting taken down, censorship from UK government, sites getting blocked.
Who's that American thing that they've just said keylogging and all that kind of nice stuff?
So there's a thing called X Key Score, is seemingly the actual program that is from the NSA used to actually collect everything a user does on the internet, so email, social media activity, browsing history. And they're supposedly, for an American citizen, you're supposed to be like, you need to go to court and all that kind of stuff. If anybody around the world, they basically put in an email address, typed in a justification, nobody checked it, and then whoever was driving that software could then just go and look through your stuff.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
No. Then again, Virgin Media stole all our passwords in plain text. That's what they said. But don't worry, our staff have been through an audit. So don't worry. Oh, the gosh.
And anyway, don't worry, all our databases are fully secure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to when Virgin Media say, "Oh, we've been hacked,"
Yeah.
We've lost all your passwords and they were in plain text.
Yeah.
Immunicity, simple censorship circumvention. This is from torrenticity.com, who are doing a bit of a campaign. They're saying they're disgusted by the amount of censorship in Europe, particularly in the UK, over the last sort of, you know, 3-4 months. So if you take a browser, Firefox, Chrome, all the main browsers supported, and if you're used to doing a little bit of configuration, all you're basically doing is configuring your browser to point to a proxy.pack file. And all that proxy.pack file is saying, for these lists of addresses, route to this site, please. So it contains a list of URLs that are censored in the UK. When you send a request for that, your browser is instructed to route the traffic via Immunicity's own HTTP proxy server. And that'll fetch your content and send it back to you.
So basically, it doesn't hide any content, doesn't hide it away. You obviously have to go through their server, so you have to trust them a bit on that. But at the end of the day, it just circumnavigates any particular blocking, because it always looks until that particular website gets blocked as well.
And I'm sure there's going to be a whole lot of stuff happening in the background to keep all that.
But alive. that shows how, you know, there can be a billion Immunicities
exactly
pop up. That's the thing. Again, it's
trivial. It's trivial. Yeah. And to show you how it works, I fired up Firefox, configured it in Chrome. We just go to Pirate Bay, and it's like you get the Virgin Media. It is blocked. Blah 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 blah. Same address in Firefox. Instant.
Yeah. There you go. That just, like you say, it shows how trivial it's going to
be. So it was a pick. You might want to take a look at it if you're getting fed up with the amount of censorship. It is an easy way around it. There's still, even though they're blocking a whole load of sites around about torrent sites and etc. It's so trivially easy to get around. It's unbelievable. And that's why I just think all this stuff around, you know, the hoo-ha last week, it's all...
Like I say, 3 weeks ago, we told you how it was smoke and mirrors, because all the stuff that was leaked before and they didn't really know what they're talking about, but it made an awful lot of noise. There we go. We got to the end of the podcast. Hooray. If you want to find out more about what we do, you can do. Digitaloutbox.com. Talk to us if you want. Email info@digitaloutbox.com. Twitter, digitaloutbox. Skype, digitaloutbox. I am on Twitter sometimes as CheesyUK. You can follow my racing, academyracer.co.uk. I have a race this weekend. Very excited. Ian, where can we find you?
Indy.net is my blog. And Twitter is Sweeper.
There we go. So brands hats this weekend.
Good luck with the racing.
Thank you.
I look forward to more wins.
Hopefully. Let's see. Speak to you next week. Bye-bye.
Ta-da. I don't want to see that commentator saying former championship leader Chris Hutchison's now in third place.
It could be my last little TV bit of saying Chris is in the lead of the championship. Be sad, wouldn't it?
No, but you've got to go and you've got to get interviewed by the kind of Susie Perry, the cheap Susie Perry clone.
Jenny Gow.
Yeah.
Come on, it's pretty good for a little bit of racing.
It is.
I'll take
that. I remember when she turned up in MotoGP, you're like, oh, bless. 'And I can't believe Microsoft have basically kind of, you know, rolled over and had their tummy tickled.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, and called their service now The Verge.
No, they've not. A Microsoft spokesman confirmed the name change to The Verge, the website. They confirmed it to the journalist on The Verge. I'll cut that out. Bless you, you're tired.
I'm very tired.
It's The Verge.
I was going to say,
I should have just let that go, shouldn't I? I should have just let you paddle on. What about the website that's just been launched? What are they going to do? Are they going to go to court?
That was good.
That wasn't the point, Ella, that you were going to make when I said I'm going to cut this out, was it?
No, that was something else. How are you going to be able to chop that out? There's about 20 minutes.
Because I'll chop it out and add it to the end for full embarrassment.
Yeah, of course you will. Bastard.
I don't know. I need to step back from the mic. Maybe we could hire like Jim Bowen.
We we should at least, if we can't hire him, then we should at least
rip him off the net. It was the guy that used to, was it Tony Green? Is that a good bit of knowledge?
I don't know. Is that one?
Yeah. Tony Green. I actually think he might be dead.
Oh, well, he might be quite hard to get hold of then. But I'm sure there'll be something on the internet that we can rip off even if we...
Very much. It was Tony Green.
There we go. That was
He's
good.
He's still alive.
Well, even better. You get in contact. We'll see him on Digital Outbox.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
No. Unfortunately, he said cancer of the tongue. I may have to cut that out.
You're a naughty, naughty man.